Yeah, there you go. I've never actually introduced a show like that before. That's how proper DJs do it, and I'm feeling quite smug. What did you think, Simon? Hello, Simon Belshaw.
Hello. I thought I was fantastic.
Yeah. Well, what I'll do now is I'm going to put up the microphone so we can actually hear you.
That's a good idea.
That's a good idea. Yeah. The reason
As
why
I said, that was fantastic.
Thank you. The reason why I didn't put up your mic is because I'm looking at a keyboard on your right-hand side. Oh, sorry, on your left-hand side. On my right-hand side.
Yeah.
And it's got some interesting music programs running that you have designed, and we'll talk about those a bit later. But is it going to run live all the way through the show? Is that what we're going to do tonight?
Well, we can start one off now and see what happens.
Let's do it then, yeah?
Okay.
Let's have it in the background playing. Avon calling. Excellent. I can certainly hear that. Wow. Yeah, well, there we are. I mean, that's going to just be running all the way through, isn't it? We're going to just leave it, shall we?
We might change to a different music machine.
Okay, because there are many music
machines.
Okay.
For the moment.
Right.
If you're happy with it.
Yeah, I'm not happy with this one. I'll tell you why. Because it reminds me of having my teeth done. No, let's just leave it. Leave it going. It's going to catch us out all evening. I'm going to be on the edge now. I'm on the edge already. It's like, oh my God, what's going to happen now? I said it earlier. You are a minimalist composer. Is that how you term yourself?
No.
No?
No, I don't.
You don't? How do you term yourself?
Well, a composer.
Just a composer?
Composer, yeah.
Right, okay. Because you have done other things other than just minimalist work, is that right?
That's right, yeah.
Okay.
Various things. Art installations I've done. I've done these music machines that we're listening to now, which are computer programs.
Yeah.
Many years ago I was in sort of rock bands, pub bands, that sort of thing.
Pub band? Were you really in a pub band?
Well, some of them. Some.
Yeah, you don't strike me as a pub band kind of guy. What were you playing? Guitar? Singing?
No, sax.
Sax?
Sax, yeah.
Saxophone, right, okay. This is something I've got a love-hate relationship with, I think.
What, sax?
Yeah. Well, I don't like, well, you as well at the moment. I mean, that music feels like it's stabbing me in the I can't really say it, but it's certainly getting me on edge. There it is again. Listen, I think, can we explain what this is all about? Because I think people need to know before we kick off, all right? So tell us about these music programs, Simon.
That was fantastic timing. How did you know that was going to happen? What we're listening to here is it's Music Machine 1, Music Machine number 1. I've written a number of what I call music machines, mm-hmm. which are programs that just... Will run on your computer until you stop them.
Right.
And this one is just set up. There's certain parameters that I set up in the machine before it starts.
Yeah.
So each time you play it, it'll do something different, although it will inherently sound the same.
Yeah.
This one is making a certain number of choices about, for a start, how many instruments are going to play at one time. So sometimes you might just hear one voice, and other times you might hear as many as ten sounding together. And then it makes other choices about how loud they're going to play, how long they're going to play for, and then how long the silence is in between.
So these are random choices?
That's
right.
They're
not pre-programmed, are they?
No.
It's all completely random?
That's right.
So how does it make the choice?
It makes the choice... Well, I've set up a number of sort of random number generators...
Okay.
Within the program that then choose. So there's in MIDI there's 127 different instruments.
Right.
In fact, most things in MIDI are based around the number 127.
Are they?
So,
why?
Yeah.
Why is
I
that?
I don't know.
Well, you're a big numbers man, aren't you? You are into maths. I would say you have a love of numbers.
Like numbers.
You do like numbers.
Yeah,
well,
I do like
I'd
numbers.
I'd say love, actually, to be honest. Because you would say, you told me before that everything can be put down to numbers, around us, on the earth, musically, everything is due to numbers, isn't it? Everything's connected with numbers, to do with numbers, made out of numbers?
Possibly, I might have said that once.
Yeah.
Certainly, music certainly is numbers. Yeah.
Okay, so if you're going to compose a piece of music, obviously that's numbers that you're sitting down and it's 4-4 time or 3-4, even jazz, if you improvise over something, you're around about those scales, you're getting it just about right within the parameters of that, you know,
yeah,
a key or whatever. And that's it's numbers that's predetermined almost, you know, even with improvisation, you can't go too far out without sounding terrible.
That's right.
But with random stuff like this, it's not composed, it's not scored.
No.
But afterwards, obviously, if you listen back to the show, you can sit down and you could score all this, couldn't you?
You could do,
so
yes.
It's post kind of mathematics scoring. It's a different type of mathematics. What is that? Is there a name for this style of mathematical music that we're listening to?
Not really, no.
No?
I mean, this is... this particular machine, there are others that we will hopefully move on to later.
Yeah.
That are more obvious in what they do. But this one is entirely random, which is why we're getting all the sort of strange sounds and discords and...
Yeah. I'm getting used to this. Because, you know, before,
you're beginning to enjoy it.
Yeah, well, before it was really getting on my nerves, and I'm sure the people down in the bar at the Phoenix who are listening to this right now are thinking, this sounds like my coffee machine.
I think they've all gone home.
They will do, yeah. But I'm actually kind of getting used to this now, and I could probably leave that running for a long time. But you say you've got how many music machines have you created?
There's 15 at the moment.
So 15 with each with 127 different sounds on, is that?
No, they're all completely different. That's only this one.
Right.
This one has the potential, every time it's making a group of notes like that, it's making a choice of out of 127 different sounds which ones it's going to play.
Right.
And it may only play one of those, or it will play up to a maximum of 10.
Okay, so I mean, this is truly esoteric and quite highly clever stuff that you are creating here. So you're a computer magician as well, then? Would you consider
yourself? No, I wouldn't say that.
A programmer of sorts, or
well, of sorts. But this is it's actually written in a program called Basic.
Right.
Well, Real Basic it's called, but you know, it is.
Okay, so this is for Mac, is it?
Yeah. These will only run on Mac.
Right,
yeah.
Can we listen to these ourselves on the internet? Is there any
Yeah. There's a website. musicmachines.org.uk.
Okay, musicmachines.org,
If you have a Mac, you can download them all and run them. They're all free.
Right, okay.
And it'll work on any Mac that's running on OS X, any version of OS X. It'll work on Intel Macs as well.
Brilliant.
If you have a PC, you can go and listen to... There's MP3 clips.
Right.
But obviously they are only samples of sort of like 1 minute of, yeah, of it at one particular time.
I've tried that, and I kind of got a... And, a few strange noises. And I thought, hang on a minute, this isn't what I was expecting, just one noise all the way through. But if you click on it again, it's a different noise, a different sound, isn't it, on the MP3?
No, not on the MP3, it's not.
It isn't.
The MP3 is, for example, I would have just recorded the first minute of this.
Right, I obviously clicked on a different one.
Yeah. It's only the machines themselves, when they're actually running, that there'll be something different each time you do it.
Excellent. But you weren't always into this kind of bizarre style of music that we're listening to now. You were actually a pub band, weren't you?
Let's not overdo that.
You thought you'd gloss over that bit.
Yeah, I played in a pub once.
Did you? Yeah, at the Harp. I'm really interested. You brought some music in, which I've begged for you to bring in, okay?
Yeah,
true. And it's a band that you were in a long time ago. Can you tell me a bit more about it?
It's, this was a group I was I think what we're going to listen to was probably recorded in probably nearly 30 years ago.
Wow.
I would suggest.
All right.
It may well be the anniversary, but no one suggested we reformed yet.
So 30 years, let me do my maths because I'm not great at this. So that's
certainly
1944.
Well, the band was sort of running when I was at school, so it was around that sort of time.
Yeah.
This was in the days when in the sort of punk era when although this isn't punk music, but it was in those days when everybody was making singles and it was quite an exciting time.
Okay.
Musically, let's
give it a listen. What was the name of the band?
The name of the band was The Toys.
And what's this track we're playing? The first one?
The first track is The Things I Say.
things I mean to say to you. Even when I thought I'd made my mind up, I never saw it through. I never mean the things I do. I never mean the things I say. But I don't really want to try anyway. I never like to meet by chance. It always seems you're on your own. And if I talk to you at all, I only ask who else can take you home. I never mean the things I do. I never mean the things I say. But I don't really want to try.
Back in 1970s, late 70s, and we've got the saxophone player right in front of us. It's Simon Belshaw. Simon, I was really impressed with that.
Were you?
Yeah, I was actually. I wasn't expecting it to be. I was expecting to be like.
You were expecting it to be rubbish.
Yeah, to be perfectly honest, like a cheap demo or something. But actually, it sounds really good. What did the rest of the band get up to after it all split out then?
I don't think any of them. None of them did anything with music.
You're joking?
No. The drummer actually was a very good violinist.
Right. Okay.
He's now working for the National Health Service.
Is he really?
Yeah.
What about the singer? Because the singers are usually quite.
Yeah. Well, the singer went on to work for the Labour Party.
No way.
Yeah, he did. Right, okay. Yeah. And not that long ago, I heard him on Radio 5. In fact.
Oh, did you?
While trying to justify the Millennium Dome. Actually, it was a few years ago. So it would have about 10 years ago.
He must have had a tricky thing to try and defend. The dome.
Yeah.
Oh well. So he's. Is he with the Labour Party now, do you say, or is he probably...
I think he's probably left now.
Probably left. So, that's weird, isn't it? A singer going from that kind of thing, which is... It wasn't really punk, was it? I was trying to...
No, it wasn't. It was sort of...
New wavy, almost.
Like. Yeah, it was. It was the sort of stuff that came out of punk, really.
Yeah, yeah.
New
Did you get any airplay?
Yeah, that was on John Peel a few times.
It was?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Was it? Right, yeah. Okay. Yeah, all right, we'll play that again in a few weeks then when we get Colin back on the show,
right.
The other co-presenter, because he's a peeler.
Yeah,
He tends to get into all kinds of new, newfound bits and pieces. What's going on in the background?
Yeah, although this is 30 years old.
We've got something running in the background again.
Ah, well.
Yes.
Funny you should mention that, please.
It's much nicer than the original one, I must admit.
This is Music Machine number 2.
Music Machine number 2.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah. And this one is just a C major chord, just as the pulse.
Okay.
And then over the top there's a melody, and again that's a random melody within certain parameters that I've set up again.
Yeah. This actually sounds like a couple of the pieces we'll be playing later, your own compositions, with that kind of lovely random piano sounding going on. Why did you choose? Because, I mean, you don't like the term minimalistic music, I've just learned.
Well, no, it's not that. I don't think of myself as a minimalist composer.
Oh, okay.
But I don't object to the term. I mean, a lot of the stuff is rooted in minimalism. I don't have an objection to the term at all.
Okay. It's just that when I was listening to, say, some of your earlier pieces in the Belshaw Band, which we're playing in a minute, they did have, you know, there was this very Nyman-esque thing going on. Not so much Philip Glass, actually, it was more Nyman, I think.
Yeah.
And they were some of the original minimalist composers, I believe, from the US. Was it the US? No, Michael Nyman.
Well, Michael Nyman, yeah.
But it was Glass and Steve Reich, wasn't it?
Yeah, from Glass, Reich.
Yeah.
And they were the sort of pure minimalists.
Right.
Nyman, you might regard as, he sort of built on the minimalist idea, which is what I've done as well. So I would say that all that sort of stuff is rooted in minimalism, but it's not really the pure minimalist of Glass and or the early Glass and Reich. Not what they're doing now, but
no. It did spawn so much music, didn't it?
I mean,
you can go through all kinds of Tangerine Dream and then Kraftwerk, for instance, and then from Kraftwerk, obviously the next was like Daft Punk, for instance.
Yeah.
I would call that kind of minimalistic music. A lot of electronic music, Aphex Twin,
stuff like that. Lot of that sort of stuff.
Very similar.
That's right.
Kind of roots from there, but that's all the way back.
Tubular bells.
Yeah, exactly. 1960s, the underground kind of American movement of minimalism was very good. I enjoyed that a lot. I want to talk about Acoustic Ladyland. It's a bit of I'm veering in a completely different area here. I should have talked about this after the toys, because they are a punk jazz outfit. The drummer is in Polar Bear, and I can't remember the name now. His name, unfortunately, is Great Big Hair. Do you know the chap I'm talking about?
I do know.
Cannot remember the name. It just suddenly flew out of my head. But it doesn't matter anyway. You'll see the pictures. Have a look at the pictures of Polar Bear and Acoustic Ladyland. You'll see this man's got huge hair, but he's the fastest drummer I've ever seen. And it's kind of like almost like thrash jazz when you look at him, the way he plays. But he doesn't move. It's only his hands that seem to move, and his body is rigid. But this whole band, I met them here, the Phoenix, a few months ago when they played here live, and they're very intense, very intelligent people. And I did an interview with them, and it was very odd and very strange. I threw random questions at them because I think it's more interesting asking bizarre, random questions to get more out of people than just saying, "So, you know, tell me about your next gig," which is boring, to be honest. And I'll be doing this with you in the future as well.
Really?
Yeah. But I want to play you this this track, and I want to play you something from Polar Bear and get your opinion on it. Okay? So
okay.
Here we go. Yeah, so there you go. A little bit of Polar Bear there. But the offshoot band is Acoustic Ladyland, which was what the interview was beforehand. And when I was chatting to them, like I said, they were quite intense. And I worked out why they were in such a bit of a mood, actually, that night. It's because the support band had let them down. So when they went out on stage, and Acoustic Ladyland are like what you've just heard, but if you can imagine it in a kind of punk way, where they've just gone on stage and they want to swear at you through the sax. You know what I mean? It's that kind of intensity. Rawr! And they were just blowing me away, really. They were really kind of angry, but so utterly tight and brilliant. And Seb, the drummer with the big hair, he was a blur. What did you think? What do you think of that kind of music? Good?
It's all right.
It's all right?
Yeah.
What is it, a trifle, a blancmange? What are we talking here? What kind of pudding is it, Simon?
It's more of a blancmange than a trifle.
Really?
Yeah. and quite close to cheesecake.
But cheesecake, you don't like cheesecake?
No.
Ah, right, I get you.
I don't
I was
like
gonna say, cheesecake's high up for me.
Right.
I think we should rate all music by cake, actually.
Yeah.
Cake and biscuits, that would work quite nicely, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, I've got an email in. It's from a Colin Bray. He says, "Cool stuff" is the subject heading. Thank you very much, Mr. Bray. It says, "Mr. Lee and Mr. Belshaw, really enjoyed the Toys tune. Surprised by how early they were recorded. Pre-Postcard Records et al. definitely ahead of their time. And Simon is actually shaking his head in agreement. Your own band were ahead of their time, Simon. How about that?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Caused me to check the index of Rip It Up and Start Again Post-Punk 1978 to 1984 by Simon Reynolds for the Toys references, but disappointed not to see any. Shame on you, Mr. Reynolds. And it's signed by a librarian, which is Colin Bray, all over. Colin will be coming in a few weeks. He's not just a listener. He is a co-presenter, and he'll be giving us some great music in a few weeks' time. We've got... hang on, let me guess. This is Music Machine number 4.
How did you know that?
Well, we've had 3 already. It's simple maths.
You've had 2 already.
1, 2, 3. Don't do that to me. I know what I'm talking about. This is beautiful. This is a really nice piece. Let's see if we can get it a bit louder. It's just about there. This is nice. Now, if we could plug this laptop into the studio, we could actually hear it properly and just leave it running, probably for ever. Is that right?
Well, these will run until you switch them off or the computer dies or...
Okay, so, in effect, you could leave them on forever.
Yes.
Okay, aren't gaps in this one like as there were before. Would the gaps get wider or...
No, not in this one.
This one's just a bit different.
It would just work in the same way. There's basically about 14 different musical fragments which will play at a time chosen by the programme itself.
Yeah.
So once it's running, and also at different volumes, and also when you can hear it properly in stereo, different
this is exceptionally relaxing, actually, and you could probably easily sell 1,000 tapes to Evolution down at 4th Street, the shop for the New Ages. I think it would work really nicely. I was looking on a site today, actually, about relaxation, and I was. Funny enough, I stumbled upon it on my Stumble Upon toolbar, which I think I've got to tell everybody about. If you haven't got Stumble Upon, get it. It will change the way you browse forever on the internet, I'm telling you. And I came across this site, and it had relaxing sounds in a loop, okay?
Right.
But it had everything on there, from a train track, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. To a hairdryer, a vacuum cleaner, yeah, a shower, and all kinds. It was just, and crickets and things like that, you know? But it had a few really odd ones, and machines tend to be quite relaxing.
Do they?
And white noise as well. Yeah, and I knew this for years. As a kid, I used to follow my mum around as she hoovered, and I used to lie on those little...
You still do?
Yeah, she goes, get off me, you fat lump, I can't move around.
My dog does that with a hoover.
Does she?
Yeah.
Oh, there
well,
you
she
are,
chases
you
it.
See?
I don't think she finds it very relaxing.
Oh, does she just...
She tries to kill it.
Before you can say something else, then. Found it attractive.
No.
Those Henrys, cool. They're gorgeous, aren't they? But I think the little tiny vacuum cleaners we had in the 70s were like sausages, sausage shaped. And the air would come up through the filter, and I could actually lay on it and just get, you know, as a baby.
Yeah, I think you should stop this now.
Well, come on, we all had our strange moments. Hang on a minute, I've got another question. Someone's come straight in from a Dr. R. Jones. It says, hello there, Lee and Simon, loving the show. Even though I'm very tired and will be going to beddy by soon, could you ask Simon if he would consider writing music for television? And has any of his work ever appeared in films, and would he consider it? Cheers, John Thick, it says there.
John Thick.
What do you reckon, Simon?
Some of my music has been used in a film.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's a difficult question that I always think. I mean, I have no objection to my music being used in a film or for television, if someone wanted to offer that to me.
I think he's more pressing the point of, you know, would you write for something if you were asked? Could you compose something for maybe a new television documentary, for instance, or film that's coming out? If you were asked, would you do it?
I think I probably would. It's one of those things that I always used to have high ideals.
Right.
And I've sold out now, really.
You've sold out. So is it In the Nighttime Garden is your theme tune, is it?
I wish I had written that. That's beautiful, though, isn't it?
It is beautiful. Yeah there you are. So maybe you could do that, because if you think about In the Nighttime Garden, Teletubbies, Boo Bars, all those really bizarre things that come out of children's TV now, they are quite trippy and strange and different, and they've got this really beautiful esoteric music attached to it.
Yeah.
I think it's no different to what we're listening to at the moment, to be honest. Yeah, yeah. See where I'm going now? So if anybody out there owns a television company and wants to hire a composer to write very interesting tunes, then you can. Listen, I've got some Michael Nyman to play. We've got to crack on and play at least some music tonight, even though it's nice chatting to you, Simon. What's this Michael Nyman track all about? Why is it important in any shape or form?
Well, this was one of the first sort of Michael Nyman tracks that I heard. And it's on his first album, mm-hmm. And it's called In Re Don Giovanni, and it's taken it's a number of chords taken from Mozart's Don Giovanni, I found it in a record shop in the sale rack,
right?
And I just took a chance on it, and without knowing who he was when I bought it.
Oh, really?
This was in the time just sort of after the Toys.
Okay,
So the early ages.
This may have changed the way you thought about music.
Yeah, this and another album called Miniatures, which was compiled by Morgan Fisher, which had Michael Nyman, Gavin Bryars, Penguin Cafe Orchestra,
yes,
and other people who I was more into at that time, like Robert Fripp and Kevin Coyne and Neil Innes and all those, Ivor Cutler, all those.
Ivor Cutler, yeah. Oh, we could play some of that.
I guess those two albums sort of. Made me aware that there are other things going on.
Okay, well, let's play some, shall we?
Yeah.
Okay. Ah, yeah, a bit of Ivor Cutler there for everybody. That woke me up a little bit, actually. I really like Ivor Cutler. Did you like a bit of comedy there, Simon?
I do. I like Ivor Cutler very much.
Gosh, indeed. You're jangling. What's going on?
Yeah, it's my loose change.
Lots of gold chains. What's that all about?
This is Music Machine number 5.
Music Machine number 5?
Yeah.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
I actually thought you were jangling about.
Well, it was inspired by a book that I saw, which was called The Cheat in Your Change.
Yeah.
How to Spot Fake Pound Coins
by
Ken Peters. I don't know whether you know it.
Fake pound coins?
Yeah.
They're 50p with the edges cut off, aren't they? Nah, no. That's an old joke.
Anyway.
You're not even smiling.
What he wrote in this book was, I can quote him on this. It was genuine coins dropped onto a hard surface make a sound that approximates to F above middle C.
Does it?
Well, that's what he wrote.
If you change the hard surface?
Well, I haven't tested that out, but that's not really the point. But okay. I thought, that sounds like a good idea.
Yeah.
So what I did was I got a collection of each of our coins,
£2,
£1, 50p, 20, etc., and dropped them onto wood, metal and stone.
Ah.
And that's what all these sounds are.
And it actually does. That's so percussive. It's great. Steve Reich will be proud. I like that. We could probably just leave that running for the entire night. Should we do that for Phonic? They'll wake up in the morning going, what on earth? 8 hours of coins dropping on the floor.
Yeah.
Should we do that?
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, I tell you, this would send a lot of businessmen to sleep, wouldn't it? Spot on. Listen, you've got another piece of music that you brought in. It's called Red Piece.
It is called Red Piece.
And I made the mistake of thinking it was another part, another era, and another band that you're in. But what is this track all about?
Well, this is sort of following on from what we were talking about when I made the sort of discovery of what other music was out there other than sort of pop and rock music. Mm. And this was one of my early attempts at trying to do something that was similar to that.
Right.
And it's scored for violin, a string quartet basically, and a couple of oboes. What else? There's a trumpet on there, bassoon, and clarinet,
right.
And synthesizer, and drums.
Okay.
And this is how it sounds.